Welcome to Women in B2B Marketing, a show where CMOs, VPs of marketing, and all strong women leaders in B2B discuss their top tactics, strategies, and tips for building high-performing teams, leveraging trends, and ultimately rocking their marketing careers. Made by and for women, insightful for all. I'm your host and 15-year B2B marketer, Jane Serra. Let's dive in. Okay. Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Women in B2B Marketing. I'm so pumped for today's guest. We are going to go into all things social media. Pumped for this. We have Marioli Arias, and I am going to butcher the name. I'm so sorry, but head of social media and senior community manager at Apollo. Welcome, Marioli.
Hey, thank you, Jane. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here. Very excited for this chat.
So pumped. So for anybody who does not yet know you, they will, and I'm sure they know of you from the last few weeks. There was a major Apollo campaign that was on LinkedIn, the LinkedIn takeover job update. I'm probably not calling the campaign correctly. You had Apollo, you and your team had Apollo all over everybody's LinkedIn feeds with all of these job updates. And it was massive exposure. So definitely want to dive into that after we hear about your career path. How did you get into this world of social and B2B marketing?
My story is a little funny because I started journalism. I wanted to be a journalist. I actually worked for a little bit in political journalism.
Oh, wow.
And when I joined the company, I did my internships at. Basically, I was the young thing. So I was very lucky because I had a team who was like taking me everywhere to these interviews and learning a lot. But at some point, like in the second week of my internship, the director of the newspaper looked at me like, oh, you're the young thing. You do the social media. That was what happened. Exactly.
Yes.
And he told me that if I was interested in the project of being the first person to do social media at the company, I could do that and that I would learn a lot.
Wow.
And I just make fun of this because right now Gen Z is living what I went through at the moment. It was like, you're young, you know about social media, do this. Now we're looking at Gen Z like, you do the TikTok.
So true.
It's exactly what happened to me. And I just laugh every time I hear about that. But yeah, that's my my start. You could say that. That's how I started at social media, doing social media. And then I just fell in love with it. Like my college education, my university education was not around journalism in the digital world. Like there was not a lot of like subjects in the university that talk you about that. But I had some knowledge, of course, because that was the beginning of it. Like newspapers and journalists knew that they had to learn a little bit about it if they wanted to be successful in the digital world. That's what we used to call it.
Yes.
Then I learned so much. I fell in love with it. I was like obsessed with like, how can we get to more people? I need more people to read the news. And we got a lot of like success on it. Like we grew, I remember it was Twitter at the moment, and we grew that account to, I think it was 140,000 followers. And that was massive at that moment. Yeah. So basically everything I was learning was self-talk until a moment I said like, I think I come from a very Venezuelan mindset in terms of like higher education. So there was a moment where I said like, I need like a master's degree on this because I need to learn, you know, I need to go to the university for this. That's, I guess it's very Venezuelan. Our parents taught us or told us since we were little, like you have to go to the university to learn the tools you're going to use for your future. And at the moment, formal education was a big thing. I know probably right now the paradigm has changed at the moment that was my mindset. And it was the right choice because I took like a master's degree in digital marketing. I learned so much, especially because I had like great teachers who had been like a great companies. This was in Spain. I met people from all over the world and I was just like very impressed and learned a lot. When I came back to the newspaper, I was like, probably everything that I was going to learn, I had learned there, and I decided like to move on and find other exciting adventures in other companies. And that's basically how it all began. And then I started working at agencies. I had like 10 customers at the 10 clients at the same time. And I learned so much because, you know, it was a lot of, it's been a long journey of a lot of mistakes and wins and learning by doing more than anything.
Yes. I love that. And So it sounds like a perfect blend of self-teaching, right? And also formal education. How did you go about learning? Because even the formal education, tell me if I'm wrong here, like now they must have degrees and programs that go into specific channels, right? But I wonder when you took your master's, did they teach about, like, I don't know if TikTok was around then. I'm not sure when you got your master's, but like these specific channels, or was it more holistic audience growth and revenue and that part of digital marketing?
I mean, the thing I'm the most grateful for in the master's degree is that I learn about a strategy more than anything. Because yeah. Okay. I was very self-taught. So everything I was doing because I got into Twitter and I saw what I liked. And I tried to replicate that or maybe find a way to make it, to kind of like use the same strategy, but make it seem fresh. Like even a twist to like things or campaigns that I was seeing. But I did not have the structure. I didn't. Yeah. In my case, it took for me to go to that master's degree and learn about the structure. So that was what it gave me. It was not like a specific channel. No, we didn't have a subject about Twitter or a subject about Instagram at the moment. Yeah. But yeah, it was more of a, I got the structure, the strategic mindset more than anything. I realized in that master's degree that a lot of things I was doing by intuition. Like, I took this with me. Even now, if I know how to create a whole social media plan now, I try to take a look at what others are doing and get inspired by it and go like, okay, this is what's happening in this platform. Because I feel like that's a lot of social media managers lose touch with the platforms when they start thinking only in terms of this strategy, and you kind of place yourself in one box and don't try new things and don't kind of take the pulse of what's going on in the platforms. So I think success in social media right now is a mix between those two things. Of course, you have to have a plan. You have to be strategic because there are business goals that you have to answer for. But there's also like this part of like what the consumer in those platforms want. And when you align those two things, that's when you find success.
Oh, I have so many questions to dive into here. I'm curious, when you look at other companies and see what other businesses and brands are doing on social, do you look at, obviously, competitors, I'm sure, but also, do you go into different industries and B2C and others for inspiration?
That's exactly, every time someone who's making the jump from B2C to B2B asks me what to do, I tell them that, like, hey, B2C is such a great source of inspiration for me because they, in the social media game, they're way ahead. Because it took for B2B, I don't know how many years it took for B2B to understand that social media didn't need to be like a walking brochure saying, hey, this is my product, buy from me, buy. And that it could be fun and that it could be fresh and that it could be a place to share ideas and that you didn't need to be talking about your product all the time in order to breed that, to kind of build that affinity from the audience. So it took us a long time to learn. So I would say B2C is way ahead of the game. So yes, of course, I take a lot of inspiration from B2C.
That's great. What do you say to companies and brands that are still doing the check out our new blog type posting online? What does that trigger in you when you see that?
I mean, it's for me, it's just very sad because, you know, as a social media manager who's seen like a lot of growth in the accounts that I've led in the last 4 years in B2B SaaS, I would say that it's just missed opportunity. And that's, I guess my mindset is more like what I would do to make it better instead of like, this is so bad or anything. This is like a...
No judgment.
This could be better.
Yeah. Got it. Well, speaking of inspiration and just great social campaigns, I'd love to dive into your most recent one and what you can share with us about this, where you did the LinkedIn takeover campaign, the job updates. You tell us about it so I don't mess it up. And if you could go into just what your goals were with that campaign and expectations and if it met or way exceeded your expectations.
I mean, it did. I always say that creative campaigns on social media are usually, they need to be calculated bets. So you have to have like a notion of this might blow up. We always say that. This might go very well when you try things, right? One of the big, you know, we call it the job change campaign. One of the big things here is to highlight, I would say, is like the support of the team. Like, I think it speaks volumes of our employee advocacy programs because we got, or my colleagues in the company to post this and actually like be part of this campaign. That was amazing. Our goal with this is exactly what we were talking about, like taking a pulse of how can we be creative and take advantage of what's going on and the algorithms. And that was, that's exactly the intersection that this campaign came up, you know, came about. So yeah. Basically, we expected to have a lot of people because we knew that the algorithm, that the job change triggers the algorithm to, you know, for people to find out that you have a new job, for people to send you their, you know, good luck in your new job, congratulations on getting a new job and all those things. We knew that that's something that the LinkedIn algorithm does. So we knew that it was going to take us places, but we didn't know that everyone was going to be talking about. I've gotten feedback from people like saying like, hey, the marketing team on Google were talking about this, which is, you know, that which is something great. So yeah, it's just amazing. Like we've seen like great results. Of course, we're still the beginning of the aftermath. So we don't know the exact numbers we're calculating there, but yeah, we could say that we had hundreds of thousands of people like getting their eyes on this, and we love that.
Amazing. Were your goals of this campaign focused on impressions or opportunities, revenue, all of the above? What are you looking at right now trying to calculate as what would make this a success out of there measurement-wise?
More than anything, we are always thinking in terms of growing our brand. So the big goal was for or ICP, you know, we in case of people are not familiar with this campaign, basically what we did was we changed our job titles to Best Friend of Sales, which is one of the main consumers of our platform, Best Friend of Marketing, Best Friend of RevOps, Best Friend of CEOs. We really wanted to tell them that Apollo is their best friend, that literally we have a platform that can power your end-to-end sales process. And we definitely wanted them to know that we can be their best friend in this. That we can be that platform they go to, kind of be their companion in the whole thing and be effective and have like simple, intelligent go-to-market strategies take place in our platform and get success, basically. That's what we wanted to say. So the best way to do this was like, I was like, we're doing the Facebook thing, you know, when you used to go like on a relationship on Facebook. And I was like, that's exactly how I saw it. For us, it wasn't complicated. It was like, we're best friends with sales. We're best friends with marketing. And we want you to know that. And we wanted everyone to know that. So we just thought it's fun. We're telling, this is a letter, you know, kind of a letter of intentions. We're telling you like, hey, we can be your best friend if you want to. And just, we saw a lot of gain in that. Like a lot of people would know what really we are about, right? And yeah, that was the main goal behind. But yeah, no, I wouldn't say we were thinking like, oh, we're so gonna convert from this. That was not the main goal. The main goal was for, if someone's looking for a best friend in sales, we can be that best friend. And if you wanna know more, our sales team will tell you exactly how. And yeah, that was the whole thing behind the job change campaign.
Brand awareness for sure. One thing I think that you leveraged perfectly with this campaign, you and your team, one advantage that your team has, you leveraged and it was genius, is you have several people on your team who are big influencers on LinkedIn, right? They have massive reach. So having them partake in something like this and then the whole team, right, partake and have these job updates, just the reach was insane. So kudos on identifying that opportunity. Like how can we, you know, have our own internal influencers influence in a indirect way? It was very smart.
Thank you. Thank you. This goes to how I think of social media. I think how we think about social media in the marketing team, which is like, I see circles of influence that you can go to. Like how can I tap into the circle of influence of my employees? You know, the employee advocacy program can help you do that. How can you tap into the circle of influence of our customers who are like the holders of the truth? You can say that, how can I get more reviews? How can I get my customers to talk about the product, about, you know, what they think of the product, good or bad, whatever. And then how I can really get like influencers and outsiders talk about Apollo. So those are the three main circles that I see. And I guess my way of thinking of the strategy is always like, how can I talk to this circle of influence? How can we tap into this huge potential that you have? Because right now, the big conversation in social media is not only about how can we make company pages great. I think the role of a social media manager right now is exactly how can you help kind of push activity through all those circle of influences. So that's the whole thing.
I love that. And this goes back to your marketing strategy, right? It's not just posting ad hoc random acts of social posting like marketing.
Exactly.
It's cohesive strategy and recognizing where you have opportunities and advantages and leveraging that. I'm curious, is user like UGC huge for you right now? Do you see that as something that is just key for social success for a B2B brand?
I would say so. Yes, 100%. I joined this company almost a year ago. When I joined this company, there was not a lot of UGC happening, but yeah. I will say that there was a lot of excitement around Apollo because, of course, we have a great tool that was happening organically. But since we started like posting more, they see more information about Apollo. They see that we start talking more about our products, our people, and everything. People feel more comfortable sharing about like something that, you know, when you go into a group of people that probably don't know each other and no one's talking and no one wants to be the first one to talk. So yeah. That's the same with UGC. No one wants to be the first one to just talk because they feel like no one else is interested in that topic. So basically we kind of steer the pod when we started posting and we led by example. We told them like, hey, we are here to listen to you. We're here to talk to you. And if you want to start a conversation around Apollo, you're welcome to. So huge thing, UGC and the ways you help like your customers talk freely about your tool. Because I feel like, you know, there are companies doing employee advocacy, there are companies trying UGC, and it's like the consumer nowadays knows when something is fake, when something is paid for. They know that. So I guess it's just, it's a lot of leading by example and expecting the best too. Like it's a lot of like you lead by example and you kind of like take care of those circles of influence and you hope for the results to start showing up.
How do you enable these advocates, both internal advocates at the company and also these customers and happy users? How do you identify and then enable them so they can do this authentically and you're not just giving them a boilerplate to share?
Well, like I just said, I think the biggest thing that I've done for that is basically lead by example. Like you see me on the company channel, getting myself into conversations about go-to-market. You see or Apollo account, like getting, you know, like giving people list of salespeople to follow. Yes. You see like all of our actions are probably tied to, like I said, tap into those circles of influence. You just talk about two of the main circles for me, which is like influencers, partners, and also like customers. I think that being a brand who's open to feedback in general, that's a big thing. Like people see that the Apollo account is asking them how they feel about the new features. What do they think? Are they using it? They see us sharing use cases, real use cases, and they see our customers taking over our LinkedIn page and talking about how they use Apollo. So I feel like when you lead by example, the rest comes naturally. When you lead by example, and someone who's a user of Apollo sees themselves reflected in our content, they probably would be more inclined not to only like create a post about us, but like they can comment about us. They feel more comfortable sharing what their experience has been with us. And I think it's a lot of that.
Yes. Do you think that the brand page, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm curious your take. What's more important, the brand page or the employee pages?
I'm curious what your answer is, but mine is, it's a balance right now. It's 100% a 50-50. I do still think that company pages are very important because company pages are a window into the company. I don't know if this was a thing, but there was a moment where the social media manager function was kind of overlooked. Like, this is something the intern can do. This is something my cousin can do. I don't know. This is something my nephew, my niece can do for my company. It really is not. It's a huge responsibility to be the one that's on social media because that's basically the official information you get from the company. So I just think that people who were like assigning that to an intern, that seems crazy to me. Of course, I'm a social media professional, so I would say that. But I don't know. It just seems crazy to me.
Especially the bigger the company gets, right? Then
exactly.
Much bigger.
Exactly. You have much bigger reach and influence in general. So I would think it's a 50-50 because companies still need to have, you know, that authority. They need to still be able to say, this is what we are about. These are our customers and these are our employees. I think that's important. But also yes. today, the way sales works is a lot of like what we call the dark funnel, you know, a lot of the conversations that are happening that you are not a participant in. Like people are talking about you, whether you like it or not, you know? Yes. So that's a huge part of it. So how to foster that? Again, I'm a huge believer of lead by example. Like when they see a company account getting involved in conversations, they know that you want to be part of those conversations. So they will bring you into those conversations naturally. So yeah, it's a big 50-50. And I guess right now the big challenge for social media managers is how to balance all of it.
Perfect. Yeah. I was thinking both. So that what you're saying is 10 times better than what I was thinking. So thanks for the details. But yeah, you need both, right? But humanizing the brand through the employees. Yes. And I love what you're saying with actually engaging in conversation from the brand account. I think that's a piece that a lot of us forget to do. Right, we just kind of share out and speak at people with our posts versus collaborating in conversations, because they know the account is managed by a person, by humans. So yeah. Why not get involved?
When companies just care about their monologue, this is my product, buy from me. That's a whole monologue. Social media was created to be a conversation, and that's a monologue. There's a huge difference between those two things. So no one wants to listen to a company giving you a monologue, because we all know companies want to sell. Do you really want to sit through a company just trying to sell? No, you don't. And the more the world advances, the less you want that, right? Yes. So companies need to understand that this is a place to create conversations, to be part of conversations, not a place to just like drop a flyer and hope for the best. Yeah, that's a big part of it. Like I would say, as a social media manager, I do this exercise a lot. I think about what I like to consume, like what I really like to consume, things that I see and bring me joy or teach me something, or things that I actually remember, because we are bombarded every day with information. Yes. So what really stands out, if I, someone who consumes a lot of social media, remember something, then that's a big thing.
Yes, huge. What do you consider the goals of you and social media and your team and social media for B2B? Is it brand, demand, CS? Because I can see it being all of the above.
It is. It's exactly all of the above. Of course, like I said, we're always thinking of how to grow the brand. That's a huge part of it. Yeah. But yeah, we also want to create conversations with our customers. So it's a lot of CS and kind of like also teaching them how they could be using Apollo, because we do so much. And sometimes customers have the platform, they only use it for this one thing and they miss on all the other capabilities that we have that are so many. And when they find out about that, they were like, I didn't know you could do this. And they're like, wow, this is amazing. And that probably replaces another whole tool. And they're like, we're saving a lot of money.
And then the product marketing team is like, how did they not know? We sent a million emails.
I mean, we do have a great product marketing team. I have to say that. So yeah, but it's just like, we have such a robust platform. We do a lot of the go to market. And sometimes customers only focus on one thing. I understand when you're juggling between several tools, you focus on what you can do with this tool. But yeah, we try to teach them about that. We try to like move people down the funnel a little bit. We try to teach them about how they could be using Apollo, how others are using Apollo. We also try for people to learn about our partners a lot. We try to like showcase the humans in general that make Apollo and that make Apollo great.
Perfect. Because that's a whole nother piece, right? It goes, I'm sure it's associated with brand, but the hiring component, right? And for career and the internal team, there's so many layers to social. You kind of have to balance it all.
Yeah, because it's the same. You have so many audiences to think about in the end, and you have to create content for all of them.
It's interesting because I see some brands using their social presences only for hiring and to showcase the culture of the company, right? I think they just find that easier to focus on, or they think that's why people follow for that opportunity in the future. But I think there's a lot of brands out there who do a really good job of balancing all, like sharing tips for their customers, getting feedback from their customers and routing things to CS and AMs. And then there's also that culture component. And if you do it properly, you can do all 10,000 audiences, right?
I feel like there's a big misconception from a lot of people in social media marketing that you can only do one thing. And I understand that because hyper-focus works. If your social media page is only focused on hiring, you can get great results, right? Because people will go to your page, and if every single piece of content is just focused on hiring, you'll probably get the best candidates, right? But I think I've said this a lot, the big challenge and the big thing to think about is the opportunities you're missing by only being a hiring kind of sourcing platform, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I just feel like if it would have to probably, you'd have to think about the brands that are probably brands where people understand the solution very well, like the huge names, people know what they do. And like, I don't know, Google, you know, like, that would probably be an approach they would take, as you know, if they don't really need to convince customers. We are all customers of Google by this time, or users at least, right? But yeah, I don't like to generalize, but I would say that in most cases, it should be a mix of everything.
Yeah. And speaking of a mix of everything, how do you determine which platforms to go on? Because it feels like every year a new platform comes up. How do you determine whether to get on it or which mix to use for your brand?
I would say there's a lot of research behind finding out if your customers are active on these platforms, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of like focus, like your main efforts on the platform that gives you the most. For example, in the case of Apollo, you will see that on LinkedIn is big. This is a place where we get to talk about like every single corner of the whole thing. Like you get to talk about the platform, you get to talk about the partners, you get to talk about the customers, and you get to talk about your hiring plans, and it works. So it's a big exercise of finding out where your customers live. I was talking to a friend the other day she's a social media manager for a social media platform. And I was like, I don't want to be you, because it's like basically every platform, right? We are in every single platform. There's a new platform. We'll try it. But that doesn't mean that you have to go every single platform that shows in the scene.
Yeah.
I would just say, just find out where your customers are, where they are the most active, and try to create content. It's better to be great at one platform than be mediocre in five.
That's a great summary of that, because I do see people as soon as something comes out. I mean, there's first mover advantage, right? So if you're curious, you check out the platform, but as long as you focus on where your bread and butter is coming from and where your audience majority of them are, that makes sense. Like go all in on one channel, but test the waters in the others and see if others become a bigger piece.
Yeah.
So interesting. What do you see working best right now in social? Is there anything that comes top of mind that you're, I mean, LinkedIn takeovers for sure is one, right? But anything else for social that's just really working in 2024?
I'd say any small action can become huge. Just try to be different in general. Like humanize your brand, huge thing, and try to take a different approach to things. When you create a post and you want to be probably you want to be funny, or every single little action. I've seen like comments that I've posted from the Apollo account getting me more attention for the brand than entire post that I posted on the company account. So every single action matters, as long as you are keeping the focus on like humanizing the brand and kind of going with your business goals too. So that's a big thing. Every single little action, from a comment to a share to adding a like. I mean, we see like if you go like into the popularity world, right? When we talk about that, we probably talk about celebrities, right? And we see how people on platforms concern a lot about like this massive artist gave a like to this comment. And it's like a huge deal, right? Yes. So small actions can take you places too. I would say think differently. Try to think differently how to get your brand in front of other people's eyes.
Yes. I love that. And I love that you keep going back to non-B2B spaces for inspiration, right? Like how can you apply this realization from celebrities, right? And apply that to your B2B effort.
It's just how my brain works in general. I try to make associations with things.
Yeah.
In order to understand that. But when it comes to social media, it's human psychology. And I guess it's not only that I take a look at other industries, it's more that I take a look at human behavior And it's not like we get a personality, you know, like you, we might try to be a little more serious or incorporate when it comes to work, but we have the same personality. We have the same triggers. We have the same interest, even if we are working. So I guess I just take a look at the psychology of the consumer in general versus just like take inspiration from other industries, which also I also recommend. Because I feel like if we just look at each other in this industry, we're going to end up all doing the same. If I'm just looking at, I don't know, what Google's doing, again, Google, when, you know, the big ones are doing, I'm going to end up doing the same. And that's just going to be so boring, so repetitive, and people are just going to be immune to it. They're going to build some kind of immunity that they don't want to hear from that.
That's so true. So really good advice, I think. I'm going to repeat what you're saying is, look outside of your industry. So we're all in B2B, but various industries, look outside of B2B and find inspiration there so that you can do something different. Because you're right. Otherwise, our feed is just full of the sameness, right? And things.
And yeah, it's just, and also always look at how can you make something seem fresher, seem unique. Yeah. I used to work at Chili Piper. And when I started doing takeovers, they're like employees takeovers, like someone taking the company account and saying, hey, I'm Mary Julie, I'm this, you know, the head of social media here, and I want to tell you about this. I didn't see anyone doing that. I'm not saying I was the first one. I want to be very clear. But I didn't see anyone doing that as much as they do it right now in B2B. So, but, and it wasn't anything new. It was not new. This is something that I remember I used to do when I used to do the social media for a big restaurant. And we used to do that with the employees. They used to take the Instagram and say like, hi, I'm taking over the stories of X restaurant and I'm going to tell you how we made this dish, you know?
Yeah.
And it was exactly the same concept that I brought to the Chili Piper strategy. And it worked. Yeah. It was very successful. It's still successful in what I do. And I keep seeing other companies replicating it. So it's just like, take a look at practices that have worked, but always think, how can I make this seem fresher? Because in my opinion, everything is out there. Like you only have to play with the elements, like strategies of how to draw people. They have existed. Like people have been trying to sell for a long time now. And now you just have to take those practices and how can I make this seem different and fresher? And like think about coupons, like they existed, right? And now we give someone a code and that's a coupon. It's the same. So
yes. How can you adapt it and make something
and
more unique?
There was probably someone that saw, like, oh, they're giving out a code. That's so new. Yeah. It wasn't. It's a coupon. Yeah. And it has been invented for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of reinvent it. I love that. I'm curious on the tactical front, when you do a LinkedIn takeover in any past company or Apollo, is the tactics, do they actually go and take over, like get your login, or do you typically post on their behalf and then they're in charge of commenting, or is it multiple posts, or does it really differ based on the campaign?
This is a big secret.
Oh.
I like to talk to the person who's taking over and what they want to do, honestly. Some people don't want to post. They feel like it's a lot of responsibility and they don't want to do it. Some people want to. But what I can guarantee is that these are the words of those people. Like I've been asked several times, do you write the copy? No, I do not. And that's the big thing. Like I always, in everything I do where I need to collaborate with other people, I always ask them, do you feel comfortable with this? Blah, blah, blah. Because in the end, it's their voice. It's something that you're saying like, hey, this is Marioli and this is, it's you. So you have to have the last word on everything.
That's smart. So authenticity, right? Just making sure that it's really them. You can always help smooth things over and make sure it works for both teams, but it has to come from them.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's fair. And the benefit of working at a big known company with existing reach is that it works for both sides. Right. So there's a takeover, it helps them too.
Of course. People are talking about Apollo all the time. There's not a week that goes by where I don't find a post saying like, why is Apollo everywhere on my feed? You know, a comment or a post that's made, you know, with this kind of language. And I love those, obviously. I feel like it's been my mission since I joined Apollo. But it's obviously it's changed. Like when I got here, we weren't getting people saying like, hey, I want to collaborate with Apollo. But nowadays that we've grown our brand like three times, people want to, because obviously they want to be associated with a brand that's growing so fast. And yeah, it's become a little easier, and it's a huge win-win, because when we showcase our customers, we showcase their success with our tool, but they also get visibility for their business. So it is a big win-win situation. Yeah.
I'm curious, how do you think this would differ, social media marketing owning that would differ at a small, lesser known brand?
I think the concept should be the same. And even if you are working it in a smaller scale, I would keep doing the same, because the result is the same. Like, even if there's only 1,000 people watching and not 80,000, you should be giving them the content they can relate to in general. Mm-hmm. So if you had a smaller brand, you can have your customers talk about your product, and that would probably get you places. Of course, like you said, there's a big win-win situation where like big companies have like told us like, hey, let's partner on this because they want to be on our social media. But yeah. And it could be a little more difficult if you're in a smaller company. But when it comes to smaller companies marketing, I always say this is a time to go crazy and try everything. I loved working for small companies back in the day, because it was like, you can go crazy. You can try crazy things, because who cares, right? If it doesn't work, no one saw it, right?
Yeah, experiment. Yeah.
But if it does, you have a lot to win. So when you are in a small company, I would say like go for it. Like go for like the big things, the weird things, and just try to do like things that are out of the box. And I love seeing like small brands succeed with like big bets like this.
Yeah. That's a really good advice. You have less to lose and a lot to gain. So go crazy and try it all. Very good advice.
You do the math and you go like, I have so much to win from this that I just
why not Is there anything that you see that's not working right now in social?
It's funny, because I feel like it varies from brand to brand. There are things that might not work for Apollo that would work for another brand, right? There are things that might work for company pages that might not work for personal brands, for example. So I wouldn't say I'm always like, for example, I'm a hater. The only time that I'm really a hater is when someone says like, this is dead. You cannot do this anymore. Because trends come back all the time, right?
Yes.
So if something's dead and I can do it successfully, I brought it back, right? So yeah, there's nothing I can say, this does not work. But what I think will never work is to be a walking brochure, to be a company that's only giving a monologue, and to be a company that's not willing to create conversations, because that's exactly the foundation of why social media exists.
Yes, good point. And I love the monologue comparison. That's so true. That is what it feels like.
It is exactly what it is, right? Someone takes the mic and they talk.
Yeah.
No one's listening, probably. Everyone in the auditorium probably left, but they're talking.
Yes.
And they don't care. Like, you see brands posting something and they get zero likes and zero comments, and they keep posting the same thing. And you go like, why are you doing this? Because literally there's no conversation being created here. So yeah. And it's also a big red flag for me when I see a brand that has 100,000 followers and you see that their posts get zero comments. You go like, where are the 100,000? If you're giving a speech to 100,000 people and no one's replying, you would get down that stage, right? You would try to change your approach. But yeah, it's just like being deaf to what people are wanting from the platform, from, you know, companies in the platform, then it just, that doesn't work either. That's another thing that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's such a missed opportunity too, when you have that many followers and they're just not engaging because you're not creating that conversation. It's sad.
It's a bigger conversation, and it's probably like, how did you get those followers? There's like a, you know, there's a lot of companies trying to just showcase some vanity numbers, and being successful on social media, it's a big mix of growth, try to grow all the time, but also try to grow well with the people that are interested in your product and that will be nice people to have in your party. The way I think about this is how the party gets bigger, but you want people to get to keep going with a good environment, right? You want the party to keep going in a good way, in a healthy way. So it's not growth at all cost. It doesn't have to be that way on social media, because it's actually bad, because you're inviting people into your party that are not going to be there for the party, right? They're not going to have fun. Yeah. they're not going to be good guests. So yeah, it's just how I think about it. No, like I said, this is how my brain works.
Yeah.
My brain works a lot of associations. Yeah.
I love it.
It gets annoying. Yes.
No, I love it because it's great comparisons. Comparisons help things stick, right? So it's perfect.
That's how it works for me.
Yeah.
That's why I do it, because I feel like my brain remembers things when I make a comparison. But it gets annoying when it's like I have friends and I see a movie and there's an actress that reminds me of that friend and I'm going like, oh, this actor looks like you.
Yeah. Always connecting the dots. Connector Marioli.
Yes, that's what I do.
Love it. Speaking of like friends and getting, I want to get into the personal side a little bit before I let you go. I'm curious if you can walk through, I know we walked through the beginning of your career, which is so interesting coming from journalism. And of course, the young person gets thrown social, always still happens. I'm curious if there has been one that you can think of pivotal moment in changing your career and making you who you are today owning social media.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think
putting you on the spot or anything.
No, don't worry. I love this question. Because it's actually, I think that we are all a recollection of all the things that we've done. You know, the wins and the losses, right? So I can think of several moments. But I think one big one was like, I started working for an agency where I basically handle 10 customers at the same time. And that was a lot. Like there was a lot of like people who own their brands, and obviously they are, you know, like very careful with it. There's a lot of like trying to manage their team with our team. There was a lot of that. And I always say, if you are going to start in social media, I know sometimes agency environment is like, it's brutal. It can be.
Yes.
It can be very ruthless. But that was the best school. Like, trying to balance everything was a great school for me. And I learned a lot, especially because I was like juggling between several industries. It was like, okay, in the morning, I'm going to handle the content for this, I don't know, e-commerce clothing brand. And in the evening, it was like, I'm working for a university. It was like very different. And I learned so much. I would advise to young people starting in social media that you try to learn as much as you can about the different functions in marketing, and you try to learn as much as you can about the different industries. Nice. I think I was very clear at this when I was very young, and I was like, okay, I think I cracked the code to like newspaper kind of news social media. I want to go onto the next thing, you know. I want to learn about like the consumer, the restaurants, the universities, and the clothing brands. And I did that. And I learned, you know, a little bit in every single job that I had.
Yeah.
That made me the person that I am today. I don't think there was a big bam moment where I was like, I went from, to this. Yeah. Just like a lot of change.
Yeah.
A lot of like lessons along the way. Yeah.
Makes sense. I agree so much with the agency being just rapid fire education. I always say whenever I talk to somebody who's just graduating and they're like, how do I get into marketing? I always suggest they start with an agency, because it's such a great way to see so many different industries, so many different types of marketing, see what you like about marketing versus just being pigeonholed into one and having to stay that way.
I'd say it's the best university. It really is when you get to learn about like how to do this, how do I do that, and how everything comes together. It's just like something that sometimes when you're just focused on one function, you don't get to see.
Exactly. There's so many facets.
And maybe
to
you
marketing.
Find something that you like more. Like it's just like that's the time to try everything. Like when you're just starting, try everything and then you figure it out. Because there are so many cool things that you could be doing within marketing that you need to learn a little bit about each one to be successful in your function, because that's how we collaborate. But also how you can learn like, hey, I like this the most. Like I did several functions in marketing. I did paid. I did email marketing, product marketing. I did a little bit of everything working in agencies. And, you know, in the end, I always came back to the first love. I always went like, okay, it's social media. What really triggers me, what I really feel the most passionate about is social media. So that's how I found that I love this. And that's why I want to keep working on this.
You found what lights you up. That's perfect. Yeah. Being able to test it all and see what actually brings you joy doing that's so important.
I think so. I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, what is one thing that you would tell your younger self just starting out in marketing? You just transitioned from journalism into marketing. What would you go back and tell yourself now?
I think I was pretty, I was an anxious kid. I had graduated with like honors and I was like, everything needs to be perfect. And I think I had the paralysis of, I think it's the good kid, you know, the kid that had good grades, the kid that was well-behaved. And I was always like, I want to try this, but sometimes I was asking too many people about it. And I guess I would go with Nike's slogan, just do it, just do it. Yeah, that's it. Just do it.
Yes.
Just go for it. If it doesn't work, it, you know, you learn, and if it works, well, you win, right?
Yeah. Love that. You have so many quotes. There's so many quotes I can pull out from this. It's amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on this episode. It was so good to hear about your viral campaign. I'm sure one of many that we could go into, and just hearing all of your tips and advice and your story. So thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here. And it was a great conversation. So thank you, Jane.
Thank you. And where can everyone connect with you?
I think the best place to find me is probably LinkedIn, where I'm the most active. So just find me with my name, Mariuli Arias. There are not many Mariuli Arias in there because I'm kind of, there's a unique name. So just find me there.
Perfect. I'll put the links in show notes just in case. And awesome. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today, for listening. If you liked the episode, like it, leave a review, share with a friend, and we'll see you next time.